Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, but today, not here with my good friend Stephen Garchar. Steve is in the mission fields of Youngstown, Ohio, and we weren't able to reach him by remote. Our satellite hookup is down or something, but he's down in Youngstown preaching to the heathen. And for those of you listening on 1440 AM in Youngstown, Warren, I'm just joking. Anyway, but we have a very special guest here today, and we're going to have her introduce herself in a second and tell you a little bit about her. But here we have Julie Massey, who actually happens to also be my niece. And she's been my niece for a long time, but she hasn't done a radio show before, so at least here. So, Julie, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, hi, Uncle Phil. I'm here because I am sponsoring the show with my business, which is eCounting, which is a bookkeeping service specializing in small businesses that use QuickBooks. Hmm. So that is the business part of today, but I did want to surprise you. I got you a gift. Don't make a face. I know you're going to make a face, but I wanted
this is
to,
radio.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. That's for you and your family, and it'll make more sense when you open it up.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Aww. You're welcome. We can just, if they are... they are seat cushions that you can use here at the show. And Uncle Phil and I share a sense of humor together in a lot of ways. And whenever he would come in, he would say, there's writing all over your chairs.
Because the cushions have handwriting on them. So every time I went to Julie's house, I'd say, oh, somebody wrote all over your chairs.
Yeah, and I laughed every
nobody
time.
Nobody else would get it.
No one else got it but us. And there's some for the kids in there, too.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice. Too bad this isn't Gift of Grace Television.
We can hold. Well, maybe next week.
We can hold
maybe
them up.
Next week.
No, we can't afford Gift of Grace Television. Anyway, well, that's great, Julie. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And it's so great to have her here. I've known her all her life, and it's so good to have her here. And the reason Julie wanted to come in today, and we're going to have her talk a little bit about this, is she's very interested in a topic which, as Christians, probably doesn't get enough coverage, or whatever you want to call it, enough discussion. You know, on this show, you hear Steve and I doing Bible studies, and I, in my ministries in various churches and things, my whole thing is teaching the Bible and teaching the Hebrew roots of the scriptures and the Hebrew roots of Messiah. And if you've been listening to the show even once, you would get that. But Julie has this prompting from the Lord to talk about the Judeo-Christian morality and ethics in the world of business. Now, everybody is in the world of business in one way or another.
Somehow.
And we're not talking about people that are, you know, important management people in some big company, because everybody goes to work, everybody has a job, and whether you're the president of IBM or whether you're selling coffee at 7-Eleven or whether you're sweeping the floor at 7-Eleven, you have a job.
Yes, or whether you're a customer.
And whether you're a customer.
Customers are in the world of business too.
Yes, and so the overall topic we're going to talk about today is how do we take our faith into the workplace? You know, kind of like in your 9-to-5 world at work, is God there with you? You know, Jesus tells us in the gospel that we're to be salt and light. And he says, you know, when you have light, when you light a lamp, you don't put it under a bushel basket so nobody can see it. You put it on the table so the whole room lights up. We're salt because salt makes things flavorable. It preserves the food and it prevents decay. And as believers, we are to be salt and light for those two reasons. And in the scope of your everyday work, this is a very important concept because people who are not believers will watch to see what you do.
Whether they tell you or not.
That's right.
They're watching. And that's... I know that God is with us in the workplace. And I guess my question to myself and to you and anyone listening is, would people recognize God in you, in your workplace? And what does that mean? And how do you do that even when you're not allowed to mention God at work? Can you do it under those circumstances?
And that's getting to be more and more of a common thing in our business world.
Yes. So I have been in the business world all my life, and I think it's just really important. And I'm very happy that you wanted to talk about it on your show.
Yeah. Yeah. And work is something that's so important because the first person to get a job was Adam. So when God created Adam, I mean, Eve had jobs too eventually, but when there was just Adam and he was made out of the dust of the earth, as it says in Genesis, the first thing God did after he made him was, well, Adam, you know, here you are, but I got some work for you to do. You got to tend the garden. You got to name all the animals. So Adam says, how long is that going to take? God says, well, there's a lot of animals, so let's get started. So his job was, you know, he wasn't under like time constraints probably, but he didn't have to have it done by 5 o'clock on a certain day. But his first job was he had to name the animals. So Adam got to live in this really cool place. I mean, he got kind of lonely after a while, but he was living in this really cool place, but he had some jobs to do. I mean, there weren't weeds, so he didn't have to weed, but somehow he had to tend the garden.
There was a job in paradise.
That's right. There was a job even in paradise. And that starts the whole concept through the scripture of understanding that work and labor have dignity. Work and labor are not things to be avoided. They're not things to be despised. And we're going to talk more about that later. And Julie has some great scriptures that she's going to share about that. But these are, work and labor is something that is God-given to us. And we're going to talk about Paul. But before we do, for our Catholic friends that are listening, at the turn of the 20th century, there were a lot of papers and encyclicals, and I'm not sure exactly what else, but by various popes, the leaders of the church, that said all labor has dignity, so that workers have to be treated with dignity. They have to be given a place to work that isn't oppressive, and they have to produce when they're at work. In other words, when you're getting paid for something, you have to do the work that earns you the pay. In other words, there's a work, there's a dignity to it, and it's both for, you know, management and workers, as it would be called later.
Yes, and we were all given different gifts, different skills, and very different jobs. Very different jobs, and they are all valuable because they come from God. So it's important for us to figure out, what is it that God wants me to do for my work? Does it involve your gifts? Does it involve your skills? Does it involve your creativity? Because it may not. I mean, you may be the world's greatest dancer. You and I don't really qualify for this, but others do.
I'm more of a vocalist.
But you still have to figure out, what talents am I supposed to use for my work? And what am I supposed to enjoy, and what am I supposed to share? And it's all different for everybody. All different for everybody.
We've talked many times on this show about, we're all equipped with gifts to do ministry. You know, and gifts come from the Holy Spirit, and Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Everyone gets gifts, and the gifts are used to build up the kingdom, to build up the body. But you also get gifts and talents that are related to your work, to what you do for a living. You know, we can't all be rocket scientists, to use a common term.
I do know one, and he's very nice. Fred, if you're listening, you're great.
Yeah. So we do have different talents. And, you know, as we, as you know, those of you that study scripture and have been believers for even a week or so, what God wants of you, he's given you gifts, he's given you talents. He wants you to be available to do his work.
With an open heart.
Yes. To be docile, open. And if he gives you a gift and you decide to use your gift sitting in your family room and just doing it with yourself and not interacting, not going out of the house, that's not what he wants you to do. So what we're going to talk a little bit about today is going into the workplace with these gifts.
Yes. And using your particular gifts to influence people for good.
Mm-hmm. And also how you do the work.
Yes. And we've been talking a lot about work, but I like to put it with talent, and later we'll talk about treasure too, mm-hmm. and your time, because mm-hmm. I think it all goes together.
Mm-hmm. And you know, before we get into that, we were talking before the show about the Great Commission, and you know, here's this sorry bunch of guys who are sitting around with Jesus. Just about, he's getting ready to ascend into heaven, and he says, you guys are going to start preaching here in Jerusalem. You're going to go out through Judea, through Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And they all say, oh, yeah, we're going to do, who's going to do that? And once you read that, you have that scripture
Yeah,
handy?
I have that handy, and it's Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, and it's the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Mm. Yeah, so, you know, if Jesus had called together some business consultants and said, listen, I'm starting this new movement, and I need to really be, it's going to be worldwide. It's going to be worldwide.
It's going to go global.
Global, and you know, in a short time. And I know we don't have radio TV, we don't have internet, we don't have any of that stuff, but it's just going to be people like walking around and going on trips and stuff. But I need like 12 guys that are really going to do this. Now, let me tell you, any business consultant in any century would not have picked these guys.
No, and he wouldn't have picked just 12 either.
That's right. He just said, let's go to the temple, find the 12 smartest, best educated, most enthusiastic guys that you can work with, that you can get along with. Okay, let's go. We'll do some interviews, and then we'll decide.
Get me their resumes.
That's right. These guys had no resume. they weren't educated. I mean, other than maybe basic reading and writing, they weren't educated.
And maybe not.
Nobody knows for sure. And yet, they didn't negotiate a salary. They didn't negotiate their benefits. They didn't ask, like, well, how much vacation time do I get now the first year? How much sick time? You know, I got to have some sick time. No, they just said, ooh, okay.
Yeah, and whether they were reluctant or not, whether they doubted or not, they did it.
Yeah, and they used, you know, their availability was used, I should say. Then, you know, of course, at Pentecost, when the Spirit falls on them, then they really get empowered. But their availability was what was used, and they had been given gifts. They just didn't know it yet.
Yeah. And God wants your heart.
That's
not,
right.
Not your 401k or.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah. He doesn't care about your 401k. He doesn't care what your cholesterol is.
No.
He doesn't care what kind of house you have. He just wants you to be available.
And to trust him that he will not only show you what he wants you to do, but give you everything you need to do what he wants you to do. Mm-hmm. And we get really tangled up in that. Oh, I can't do that. I'm not good at that. I pick somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never been picked first. You know, we get all tangled up.
That's what Moses
in
said. You know, I can't go there. Can you pick somebody else? And then he said, well, your brother Aaron's going to help you. And he said, oh, great.
Super.
That'll be good.
My kid brother. Oh, this will be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be a big help.
So they don't know. Like, he didn't know what was going to happen. These 11 at this time and then 12 didn't know what was going to happen. But yet they got thrust into the situation. You know, you go to work, you go to your job. You don't know exactly what's going to happen that day. You may interact with somebody in a divine purpose that you weren't really expecting, because somebody comes and tells you their husband's sick, their cousin just got rushed to the hospital, their child is this or the other thing. And you don't know what your interaction with that even is going to be important.
No, no. And in fact, that could you could influence someone 20 years in the future because of something that you did or said at work or in a business situation or anything like that. You don't know how God's going to use that. And I want to stack the odds that he has lots of good things to use.
Yeah.
You know.
So before I ask you how you got so interested in this, and we talk about that a little bit, that we want to emphasize that work is something that we're created to do and that we're expected to do as long as we're physically able to do it, mentally able to do it, obviously. Because, you know, you can go back, you know, we kind of casually mentioned Adam. And we can go back to the people in the wilderness where the manna came 6 days a week and everyone had to go get their manna. You know, it says, if you didn't go get the manna, you didn't eat.
Everyone had to get their own.
I couldn't send somebody to get my manna unless I was physically disabled. You know, Paul later on tells the Corinthians, hey, I didn't take anything from any of you. I'm a tent maker. I made tents. I earned my living. I didn't mooch off of anybody. I didn't ask you to, you know, feed me and house me. I made my own living because along with preaching the gospel, he was also a tent maker. I mean, we don't know what kind of tents he made, but, you know, he made tents.
That was his work.
That's right.
That was his work.
That's right.
And that was picked for him to do, and he had skills to do that.
Yeah.
You can just look around in your own family. I know that, you know, your dad was a gifted carpenter. You can say lots of things about your dad, but one thing everybody agrees on immediately is that he had an amazing talent for carpentry, and that had to be God-given because— Yes, humans can't learn to do things that well.
Yeah, and he was very proud that Jesus and Joseph were both carpenters.
Yes, and he paid attention to their lives because he felt connected to them in that way. We were, you know, hey, we do this. He had something in common with Jesus. And those are not your particular skills. You know, everyone is gifted with that differently. And maybe you have some skills, but that's not what you do for a living. But are you giving dignity to others' work and glory to God with your work.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very important concept. And I know you've spent, we're not going to tell you how old Julie is.
This is my Jubilee year, if that helps anyone.
Those of you that took my Torah class
I was going to say that. Yeah, those of you who took Phil's Torah class know what that means.
But, you know, you've been in business pretty much on your own for quite a while. And so I'd like to find out why you got interested in this. But first I hear music.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, Sharon Wilbur. This is Gift of Grace Ministries. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Who is like the Lord? There is no one who is like the Lord. Strong and mighty, who is like the Lord? He is worthy. Stand up and give him the praise. Who is like the Lord? There is no one.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Julie, go.
Oh, thank you. I'm here sponsoring the show with my business, eCounting. You can look us up online at www.ecounting.biz. We're a bookkeeping service specializing in small businesses who use QuickBooks. You can hire us for payroll processing, paying your bills, invoicing your customers. And we love working with family businesses and nonprofit organizations, too. So if you have something that you're dreading that's a good bookkeeping project, let us know and we'll get it done for you. We have another service. If you're thinking about starting a business or you need a fresh point of view, you can book a 3-hour consultation or a 1-hour consultation. And that's some of the things that we do at eCounting.
Wow. That sounds interesting.
Since 1994.
Since 1994?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a long time, isn't it?
And that's eCounting, all one word?
All one word, eCounting. And not accounting, but eCounting. It's electronic, and I am not an accountant. I help people.
You're an eCountant.
I'm an eCountant. I am an eCountant. And there aren't too many of us.
Wow.
That's not
one of my strengths.
Well,
that's for sure.
It's a gift, and
I never have more than $2.28 in my pocket.
Well, you've never needed it. You've made it this far.
Yeah. So, in the years that you've been doing this business and probably some other businesses, how did you come to think about the Christian ethics in business as being such an important concept?
Well, like most business owners, I spend a lot of my waking hours doing my business. And just relaxing, people will come up and start talking about their business. It's a topic that you spend a lot of time in. And as I thought about it over the years, my values were not matching up with a lot of our culture's values when it comes to business. I mean, you're supposed to be bigger. You're supposed to be better. You're supposed to expand. You're supposed to hire the best people. You're supposed to offer the most money. You're supposed to do all of these things. You're supposed to negotiate. Mm-hmm. That became a particular sticking point with me. If someone was quiet and soft-spoken, they generally got run over because, you know, someone else was a stronger business person. So I don't know. I like justice, so I try to equal things out and, you know, speak up a little bit for the people that aren't naturally good negotiators. And that's how I ended up thinking about that. And if you look biblically at what we're supposed to do, we don't follow that at all. I mean, we hoard up money. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to, you know, save for heaven, not for here.
We're not supposed to charge interest.
If somebody owes you money, there's a certain biblical way that you're supposed to approach them. We don't do that. We threaten them. We, you know, you write them letters and sue them and that sort of thing. Or if somebody has a grudge against us, they think if we give them money that solves the problem. Right. And that's so far afield to
the work of the Spirit. It's not just the world that does this. Believers do this too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, that's what I mean. And people who do not intend to, you know, sin or go against Scripture, it's because it seems to be two separate ways of thinking.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I do at work.
Yeah, that's business.
That's my job. That's my job. He's just doing his job. How often she's just doing her job. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we're supposed to, as leaders in business, we're supposed to help people develop their talents and help them in life. And we're not supposed to count the cost. You're supposed to calculate if you're building a structure.
Right.
But you're not supposed to count what it's costing you. And that's all we do, you know, even as employees. Well, I have to get overtime. Mm-hmm. I demand overtime. Yeah. Well, okay. And then that brings me to another point that's important, too. We have to follow the law. Mm-hmm. If you are supposed to pay employees overtime, and that's the law, then you need to pay them overtime. Yeah. They shouldn't have to come after you for it. They shouldn't have to hire an attorney. They shouldn't even have to complain about it. Mm-hmm. You, as the leader, need to do that, and because that's biblical. Mm-hmm. That's what we're commanded to do. Mm-hmm. You know, the worker is worth his wage. Mm-hmm. Whatever the laws are at your time and at that time. Mm-hmm. So that's how I think about it more and more. And now I'm hoping that there's not a distinction in my work in people's minds. You know, mm-hmm. I like it when people recognize that the way I do things is different. And yeah. Yes, it is.
Or if they say to you, the last person I dealt with didn't do it like that.
Yes. I got a comment on the way here because I was speaking with a business person and he said, well, you know, I may need to call you because, you know, someone had a health incident and we may need some help. And I said, that's great. Call me anytime. Don't even worry about, you know, how much it is or, you know, whatever. I'll help as long as they need it. Mm-hmm. And he was absolutely silent for at least 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And he said, well, how much do you charge? I said, don't worry about it. If, you know, mm-hmm. if you have a need, I want to help. Mm-hmm. And I know it'll take him a while to figure that out.
Yeah. It's, people aren't used to that.
And you know what? Since I've been thinking that way, in fact, my husband and I just talked about it the other day. I've had the best year I've ever had. Mm. I keep having better and better years mm-hmm. economically, and I'm thinking the right way. I'm mm-hmm. thinking the way that God wants me to think.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, it works for everybody, you know, it's not just for me. It's for everybody.
I mean, I have, you know, I generally tell people many times per day that in our culture, people worry more about their cholesterol than where they're going to spend eternity.
Yes.
And I see from what you just said a few minutes ago, you know, people are much more concerned about how much is in their 401k, how much is in their checking account, how much is in their whatever account, and how much, you know, how many more sick days do they have left than where they're going to spend eternity.
Yeah. Not to mention actually doing a good job at their work.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because as a worker, nobody should have to be hounding you or babysitting you to do the work.
That's right.
You know, the worker is worth his wage, and that's his and her. And we could probably do several series on, you know, men and women in the workplace, but that's not today's topic. It could be another show.
Maybe that'll be the next one.
You never know. You know, send us a letter. Let us know what you think. But anyway, so that I think that's really important from the worker's point of view. You need to be doing such good work that whomever you work for recognizes you're different.
Yes, exactly. You
know, that you're different.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about St. Paul, talking about labor and being a tent maker, you know, and when he writes to the church in Colossae, the epistle to the Colossians, he has a really great verse there, which is in Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 23. Do you have that ready?
I do.
This is great. And this goes along with what you just said.
Yes. And Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as you are working for the Lord, not for men.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. How many people say, well, I work for a jerk. That doesn't apply to me. Well, you may work for a human jerk. I mean, right? I mean, that's right. I hope no one says that about us. Yeah. I mean, certainly we're above that. But
I've been called worse. Yeah.
But that's really important because you are. Mm-hmm. And God will show you the work that he wants you to do. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's right where you are. Maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. But do it with all your heart.
Yeah. And this is a very important kingdom principle. I mean, the Lord doesn't want you to just go to your work, do the minimum, do whatever you need to do to get by, see if you can kind of, you know, slouch around for a couple of hours and nobody will find out about it, but you'll still get paid and, you know.
Yeah. Or, well, you've figured out a way around, you know, some of the sick time, or you figured out a way to get paid for something that you wouldn't. That's not what we're supposed to be doing.
Or you falsify your expense report, or.
But it's okay,
it's
because.
Okay, it's work.
Yeah. Or, well, my boss said it was okay if I did this. Well, don't do that. Yeah. Do what you know is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And
very good.
And whether someone pays attention to it that moment or not, you're working for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And your reward will be unbelievable.
Yeah. And you glorify God by doing this.
Yes. Whether or not the people in your immediate area
Right.
Acknowledge that, or they might even disagree with you. In fact, you may get a hard time.
Yeah.
For working hard.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
that's exactly
right.
You know,
that's, you're not there to be popular.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, you know, as your Christian witness can be ruined if you don't work hard. So for example, somebody in your workplace says, "Oh man, that woman talks a lot about what's going on at church and how important it is to read the Bible and how important Jesus is, but man, she's really lazy when it comes right down to work." And so they're not going to listen to anything else you say because you get branded as she's lazy.
Yes. Yeah. And you don't want to be branded for God as lazy.
That's right.
That's not good.
That's right. Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. And I don't know if you were planning to talk about another option. Another thing that goes along with that is, you know, following the civil law when it comes to not only how people are treated, but paying taxes. And
yes, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And you have to. Jesus was so careful to follow the law when he was on earth. Mm-hmm. He kept the Jewish laws perfectly, as you've said. And I'm sure you can lead us to some scripture about that. But I know that we were actually just talking before the show. When Mary and Joseph were traveling when Jesus was born, they were traveling because of the census. They had to go to fulfill the census. That's and we all agreed, oh my gosh, this poor pregnant woman on a donkey, 9 months pregnant, because, well, that was the law. That was the law at the time. And I mean, certainly if you're the Almighty and you're bringing your son into this world by the grace of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have to follow the law. But he did.
Yeah.
He did. And
right.
and described it so that we know that.
Yeah.
And throughout his life, he did. In fact, he died following the law. So we have to. Yeah. Oh, I don't want, boy, it takes too long to figure out what the taxes are. So I just round it off and no, that's not what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be good, careful workers. And believe me, if you're in the profession or the business that you're supposed to be, God will give you all the tools necessary to do that. He will reward you.
And even, you know, back to Joseph and Mary, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Joseph actually had to work to provide for them.
Yes.
You know, he was...
he had a job.
Yeah, he had a job. I mean, working hard. I'm sure he didn't work a couple hours a day. He probably worked hard. And he probably didn't get paid very much. And he was foster father of the Messiah. But that didn't mean that they didn't have to buy their groceries. They didn't have to buy the stuff they needed for their house. They didn't have to pay somebody to do something at their house or to buy clothes or, you know, whatever, because he couldn't go to the store. I mean, imagine they had a grocery store and Joseph and Mary went in and said, we're the parents of the Messiah. So
just, you know,
this kind of
could
be
you open
house.
It up.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
Just could loosen up a little bit. No, people said, well, okay, that's nice, you're the foster father of the Messiah, but that's 20 shekels for the food. And he had to produce some money. So he had to work in order to support them.
Yeah, and Mary had work too. She had the work of their home.
Exactly.
And they had the work as parents.
That's right.
I mean, God knew that God assigned human parents to Jesus. I think this is such a great thing.
Oh,
he knew they were going to make mistakes.
Sure.
He knew there were going to be problems, but he loves to work through us.
Yeah.
And I think we can take some joy and a lot of happiness from that, because he's going to help us.
Sure.
He helped Mary and Joseph.
Sure. And he knows that, you know, once in a while you're going to take home some paper clips that don't belong to you. Or once in a while you're going to, like, you know, punch out a 10 to 5 instead of 5. But the point is that overall, your work has to be a witness, regardless of what you do.
Yes. And if you are in a position of authority, then your standard is even higher.
Yes.
Then you have, if you're a leader, if you're a teacher, if you're any type of a manager, your work is judged, I don't want to say more harshly, more deliberately.
It's much higher standard.
Much higher standard.
As in the book of James, you know, if those of you that are teachers are judged to a much higher standard, so you better be careful what you do. Because in the ministry world, a false teacher can lead many people down a wrong road. People that trust the guy who's telling lies say, oh, yeah, but we believe him because he's the priest, the minister, the rabbi, whatever it is.
Right. Oh, well, the manager did it, yeah. So
and
it's okay
business
for us
world,
to do
it's
it.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, he told me he did this, and yeah, so it's okay. And so if you're in the position of authority, you are held to a higher standard.
Yes, and you and part of your responsibility is making sure that others do that. Mm-hmm. And if you have to have a difficult conversation with someone who's, you know, always late or whatever problem they're having or rule at work that they're breaking, that's your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Not to chew them out, not to make them feel like, you know, they don't deserve to breathe air, but to lead them to a better place in their mm-hmm. lives where they want to do a better job. Mm. And that's your job as a leader. Mm-hmm. You know, not to, we were talking about, you know, how are you leading your meetings? Mm-hmm. Are you just calling people in to scream at them and then, you know, letting them leave? Well, are you supposed to turn the other cheek? What do you do? Mm-hmm. And I think that the biblical principles that we work all our lives to learn mm-hmm. apply at work. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, it doesn't say unless you're at work. Right? I mean, yeah. It doesn't say.
Thou shalt not steal, except when you're at the office.
Except if you need office supplies yeah. at home and you forgot to stop and your spouse is mad at you. There are no qualifying statements of any kind. I dare you to find one.
I mean, now you can take a box of paper clips home if you're the boss and you've paid for the paper.
Well, that's different. Then you're not stealing. Then you're not stealing. Yeah.
But, we have kind of a joke about that at my office.
Oh, do you?
When I say
I'm very serious about paper clips,
and
so
I say, "Gee,
careful.
I have to make some copy of some handouts for tonight's Bible study." So, and then the girls in my office always say, "You pay for the paper," and I say, "Oh yeah, that's right." So that's kind of fun, but
think
yeah, that's
about
a very good
things
point.
Like that.
Yeah, I mean that's a very good point, and it's a you know, you mentioned keeping the law. You know, the Bible tells us if you violate one law, it's the same as violating them all. So if you say, well, what are they going to care about a box of paper clips? There's 158 more of them in the closet.
Yeah. And you know what? They may never find out.
Right.
But that's not what's important about it.
That's right.
What's important is that you're doing what's right so that your witness is true.
That's right. Very good. Very good. That's nice. And, you know, and another topic that comes to mind, and I'm sure we'll be coming up on another break in a minute or two, but another topic that comes to mind is when you are a committed believer and you want to tell people the gospel, you want to tell people that Jesus is their only way to salvation, and you want to tell people that you're a Christian because of the following reasons, and you want to live your life this way because of the following reasons. You're not always able to do that in a normal workplace.
No, because again, you don't want to violate the law.
Right.
So you're not, God does not expect you to, you know, turn your workstation into a pulpit. He expects you to follow the law. Well,
mine
some people can. Some people have the freedom to do that.
Yeah,
others, most people don't.
But when you work in the company, you just can't do that.
No, you can't. And in fact, most people, in fact, their work life is so regulated, they can't even use their free time. I mean, they have to take their lunch break or their bathroom break or whatever at the prescribed moment. So they don't have the opportunity to do that. But your actual work in that situation is valuable. Mm-hmm. And you don't know how God's going to use any of this.
That's right.
I mean, the Bible is full of examples, and you'll lead us to them much quicker than I can because I'm not that great with specific chapters and verses. But you're generations later, your family may come to a better position with God because of something you do now. Mm-hmm. And you won't know that.
That's right.
You know, you won't know that. And so we have, that's why we work with faith.
There's many, many places in the scripture where it points out that things go through generations.
Yeah, many generations. Mm-hmm. And you don't see it, you won't know it. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we're called to do.
That's right.
That's not how we're supposed to behave. We're supposed to do it now and trust that God will reward that in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or use it in the right way.
That's a very good point. Yes. Oh. This is Sharon Wilber. I was wrong the first time. That was Paul. Well, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
will never leave you. I will not forsake you. I will always be with you. Look, here comes that Pharaoh marching with his army. Where do we go?
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's a cool song.
I know. It's great, isn't it? It's a toe tapper.
Sharon Wilbur always calls me Uncle Phil.
Does she?
Mm-hmm. All the Wilburs do.
Well, you know, it's been great. Anyway, it's a great thing.
Anyway, go to WilburMinistries.com. That's not Julie's commercial. It's a different commercial. Anyway.
And thanks again, everybody, for listening to the show. I want to tell you a little bit more about e-counting, which is our bookkeeping service. We can work remotely or on site as you prefer. We think we have very reasonable rates per hour or per project, and you can hire us by the week, by the month, or once a year. We can get you your reports online, via email, or during a phone conference. We can also help you evaluate day-to-day operational information that you think is pertinent to your success. And we can also talk about what success is. So call us for a quote, 440-476-7771. That's a little bit more about e-counting.
Why don't you give that number one more time?
Sure. It's 440-476-7771. And I did want to read Matthew 5:16, because we talked about this in the last segment, and mm-hmm. I think this is a great verse that talks about that. And we don't think about this as being a work-related verse. But here it is. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, do you think about that as a work verse?
Yeah.
I usually don't.
Yeah.
I usually don't. But I have been thinking about everything in terms of work. We spend so much time there. We interact with so many people there. And the world we live in with instantaneous communication. everything gets around the world really fast. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure that I'm doing that. I'm being a good light, and I'm even thinking about things wow. in that way.
That's really good.
You know, because we're so trained to think about things differently. What you're paid per hour, what you're paid per year. This mm-hmm. is, you know, we're in tax season now. Mm-hmm. So everyone is thinking about this, and we assign such a value to that. And there's no value to that in heaven.
Now I have a question. Does Jesus expect me to love the IRS? Oh, just kidding.
Well, you're supposed to love the people that work for the IRS.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, okay. So I don't have to love the institution.
No.
Oh, okay, good.
No, that's not required.
Okay, good.
But you are required to follow their laws.
I feel better now.
Good. I'm glad I could be of comfort to you.
Because sometimes when I'm in Washington, I say bad things when I drive by
the
IRS.
Well, no, you cannot.
Building.
You can't do that. And you know what? We have the power to change all that. Right? It's a democracy if you
Next
don't
time,
like it.
Next time, I'll just
change.
Give a blessing as I go by.
Maybe it'll help. We should all start praying,
yes.
right?
Yeah, we have a ministry center on Capitol Hill. Check out faithandaction.org. But Faith and Action is either com or org. I think it's org. But we've been praying over the Supreme Court and the Capitol for about 20 years now, and it's pretty slow going. Anyway.
Well, a lot of things about institutions move slowly, right?
We were talking about a book, a verse from the prophet Amos. This is one of my favorites. I did a talk about this to a group of businessmen a few years ago and got a lot of kind of mixed reactions. But why don't you read that from Amos 8?
Sure. This is Amos 8, and I'll start with verse 4.
His Hebrew name is Amos.
Amos. Okay. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath be ended, that we may market wheat, skimping on the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even selling the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by himself, the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything that they have done.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, most people are not that blatant when they're dishonest. Mm-hmm. They don't say, hey, when can we reopen so that we can gouge these people? Generally, that's not the announcement.
And nobody closes on the Sabbath anymore anyway.
No, which would be another interesting show, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, those of you that are over about, I don't know, 60 will remember a time when on Sunday everything was closed.
Yeah, you don't even have to
be
that old.
And you had a difficult time finding a gas station. But, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a very blatant condemnation of the people who were making money in Amos's day.
but it's no different today.
Exactly.
It's no different today. People still sell things that are not pure. Mm-hmm. They, they put in other products with what, I mean, the word natural has lost all meaning in terms of food. That's a bad platform for me. I could go on for about 3 weeks about that.
It's kind of like luxury apartments. Every apartment building has luxury apartments.
Yeah. It doesn't mean the same.
No.
As it used to. No. But I mean, dishonest scales. And sometimes it's dishonest and people don't even know.
Of course.
I mean, they're not deliberately doing it, but are you calibrating your scales? Are you really giving people what they're paying for? If you charge people by the hour, are you working an hour? Mm-hmm. That's 60 minutes. I got to tell you, I don't know anybody that works a 60-minute hour. Mm-hmm. And I try to be clear with people when I say that, because when I pay my people, I pay them for the hour, but I know, and we have an understanding, that they're not going to work every minute of that hour. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have to eat, they have to go to the bathroom, they get something to drink. Now everybody's on their, you know, on their cell phones, on their texts, they surf online, right? Yeah. So what is that now? And that's how I interpret that, cheating with dishonest scales. It doesn't necessarily mean changing your scale.
Mm-hmm.
But have you really looked at the work that you're doing and what you're charging?
Well, that's a good point.
You know, and because I think most of it happens
not just weighing the salami at the deli.
No.
It's a lot of other things.
Yeah, it's a lot of other things. Although that too. And don't get me started on how long it takes to get processed lunch meats at the deli. That's a whole nother show.
Well, that's a good point. And then it sounds like you've applied these principles to your business.
I try. Yeah. I tell customers when I I don't like to keep track of things by the hour because of that reason. If somebody calls with a problem, mm-hmm. I'm going to listen to that problem, and I may not pay really close attention to how many minutes
right.
I'm listening. So I that's why I like to give people a quote, just like, here's the task, here's how much it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And then if I do it in 5 minutes, good for me. If it takes me 5 hours, well, I told them this price, so right. that's that. But then I feel much more honest about it, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm not going to work every minute of every hour.
Yeah.
I
think, you know, and I think that's another good point you just raised. To feel good about yourself is important, because when you're a Christian and you have what the Bible calls a well-formed conscience, you know, what Christian tradition says is a well-formed conscience. When you treat somebody badly in a financial way or a personal way or some in any way, you should feel in yourself, oh, that wasn't right what I did.
Yes.
If you don't feel that, then you have what Paul calls a seared conscience, where nothing affects you.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean don't stand up for yourself.
Right, of course.
You know, because yeah. there are people that will kind of try to get one over on you in the name of
sure.
being a business person
sure.
or good negotiating. But keep that godly example in mm-hmm. mind. You don't, if you're working for God and you're working hard, you don't have to defend yourself. God will save you.
Yeah. Wow. God, it's the end of the show already.
Wasn't that fast?
Wow. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, and I hope you've enjoyed Julie being on the show, and you can go to her ecounting.com.
Dot biz?
Biz.
That's okay.
Biz.
That's all right.
Yeah,
they'll find it. Biz?
Yeah, and she gave the phone number, and maybe we'll have her on the show again in a few weeks, and we'll do some other topic from the work world.
Thanks, Uncle Phil. I've had a great time.
Great. Well, Stephen and I will be back next week to talk about some Bible teaching. We'll decide later what that is. So God bless you, everyone.
God bless everyone.
Isaac and Abraham, an altar without a lamb, a covenant made, a hand raised in faith that God himself would...
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks, and God bless.